G'day, with the Suffolk Grammar from Our Nerds.
Same mole.
Welcome to episode 240 of the Rand Nerds podcast. Hope you're all well this fine evening. How are you doing, Zaber?
I'm doing all right. You know, the usual, you know, chipper, you know, handsome stuffs.
Always handsome.
Oh, yeah.
The resident handsome Danish man.
Yes, that is I, the Danish man.
Like a Danish pastry.
Danish pastry.
Do they call Danish pastries in Denmark Danish pastries, or do they just call them pastries? I've never got some other name.
So what you normally call Danish, we have a word for it. It's called wienerbrød.
Wienerbrød.
Yeah, brød, that's like bread.
Bull.
And wiener, that's, I don't know what that is, but yeah, wienerbrød.
We should start doing as part of every episode of Randos. We should sort of learn a bit of Danish with Zaber every time.
And oh, dude, I'll teach the world how to insult anyone in any language with only Danish words.
Yeah, who needs that? What's the program of the owl? I can't remember the little app you get. Duolingo. Who needs Duolingo when we can have Zabermore? Zaberlingo. Oh, I think you've got your mic's gone again, Zaber. Oh, we'll return shortly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that work now?
Yeah, you're back. That's an interesting bug.
You keep pressing buttons that mutes me, dude.
I'm not pressing anything. I'm not doing it. I am literally not touching the keyboard in the slightest.
Gad. Keep monitoring. If you're seeing this live, monitor his webcam. Is he pressing buttons? I know he's pressing buttons. He's doing it.
I should keep my hands like this for the entire podcast, shall I? Just so I can prove. Yeah, you can't see.
I know you have a MIDI pedal thing going on on the floor that you're just pressing to mute me all the time, just to piss me off.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, mute, silence. Yeah. So, Zaber,
I found out something funny.
Yeah?
I found out something funny. I was on someone's, I'm not going to mention what type of stream it is, but I was on a stream.
Dodgy stream.
Now I have to get into it.
Yeah, you do.
It was gambling. It was a gambling stream.
Oh, was that all?
Someone's streaming slots. Well, I don't necessarily condone, you know, fucking playing slots and whatnot, especially if you can't, you know, control it. A lot of people, they can't handle losing money, and then they start losing more because they chase their losses. But that's another story for another time. But so I was on this stream with a guy on Kick, and I've watched him for years. Really cool guy. He's the kind of guy that when he gives back to his community. Like, this is like all crypto stuff, but he gives out money on his stream every time to his audience. Gives the people the chance on winning money and stuff like that. But that's also beside the point. That's also a story for another time. But I was on the stream and I was like, hey, dude, hope you win big tonight. He was like, thanks, Saber. Saber. Dude, I found out. Do you know what Saber, like the word Saber, that means that in Arabic? Arabic?
No.
Dick.
Oh, good.
That is I, the Danish dick.
Does mole mean anything in Arabic?
I don't know.
Right, Google Translate. Let's see if that means anything. So, from Arabic to English.
But if you spell Saber the exact way that, you know, it's dick.
So
I didn't know. This is almost embarrassing.
Okay. This is quite funny. According to Google Translate, which we don't know how reliable it is, mol in Arabic translates to mal, as in shopping center. So you are dick shopping center.
That is I, the Danish dick shopping center.
Go down to your local Zaber mall to buy yourself a new dick.
This is so dumb. I've used that name forever and always had like the nickname from that just be Saber. It's so dumb. And the name was actually from my two favorite villains. So there was Sabretooth from the Marvel stuff, from the X-Men stuff, and then there's Darth mole.
Oh,
and I just right. and I just spelled it different. So instead of with an S, it was with the C, and the M A U L got to be M O U L. That's how I came up with that name. Yeah. But the fact that the nickname in another language means dick. It's yeah. I'm proud.
Oh dear. Oh, why isn't Dick Mole?
Dick Mole?
Dick Mole. Because it's mm-hmm. Mole means Mal, so Dick Mal.
Yeah, but did you spell it M-O-U-L?
I did, and it came back as M-A-L-L.
Oh, there you go. Mole.
Yeah.
It's the Dick Mole.
Let's just try to save... So it's interesting, when I search, if I search for, see, Zaber doesn't come up as Dick in Google Translate.
No, it doesn't, but if you change the language to Arabic?
That's what, Arabic, I've got it set as Arabic.
Arabic, that's what it's called, Arabic. I did, and it changed the language, so press enter once you've written it. Press enter, and it changes the wording. And all that stuff, so you can't tell what it is anymore.
Yeah, it's not done anything for me.
Hang on. I'll get this up. We can't have this. Translate, because it still has, remember, there it is. Arabic, is that what it's called?
Oh. Yeah.
Set A-B-R, and then press enter. Boom. It changes. Yeah, now it says cock.
Ah, question. So are you translating from Arabic into Danish?
No, to English. I can also do it into Danish, and then it just says the Danish word for dick or cock.
Yeah, honestly, I've got it, and it's not doing anything for me.
Hang on.
Are you spelling as you spelled in your name with a Z?
Yeah, Z A B E R and when it says from Arabic to English, and then I press enter, then it changes it to Arabic signs. And then it writes on the English side what that means.
Oh, no, it's
Hang on. Is it because it changes? Hang on, give me 1 second here. Z A B O B E R, press enter. Ah, it's S A B R. Z A B R. Try that.
Nope, still can't position your name.
Dude, fucking I'll show you. Can I screen share this, or how do I do that? I can, how do, is it alt print screen or something?
Do it, you could, yeah, just, alt print screen will sort it out.
I've done it. And then put it in the chat here so you can see it. There you go.
All right, so this will unfortunately not be a...
We can't show.
We can't show this to the people.
But you, you
you're using different.
I mean.
You're doing different versions of the site that I'm using. I'm using Google search engines built into Translate. Let me see if I go to the actual Google. Let me try it this here.
Oh, let's go to the translate.google.com.
Or yeah, whatever. I was using the built-in site. Well, I'm going to reply to your...
With things. What yours come up with?
Yeah.
Yeah, that means lily. Yeah, let me click that. Why does that do that? Why is that different?
I don't know.
That's really weird. Why mine doesn't. The funny thing is, he said it on stream. He was like, everyone knows what that means. You know, Arabic people fucking go nuts in chat and was like, LOLOL.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Is that true? And I went to the translate thing. I was like, it's true.
Oh no. My entire life.
I was like, oh no.
My entire life is a lie. Oh well.
And tonight's episode is sponsored by
Google Translate.
Pepsi.
Pepsi.
We're not. It's not. We wish it was, but it's not. They still haven't put in the sweetener thing in Denmark.
Lucky you.
I can tell.
Lucky you.
I'm enjoying the Pepsi as long as I can, dude.
If you could get this, the sweet Pepsi money or Coke money, you know, we'd be sorted. Coca-Cola, that is, obviously. We'd be sorted, mate.
Coke money. Yeah. I love the fact that you had to just quickly be like, of course it's the Coca-Cola money.
Yes, the Coca-Cola money, yes.
We're not that type of people, right?
No. Well...
I'm sat here.
Look,
no one watches this live.
If you're a Colombian drug lord and you're in the market and you like gaming and you're in the market of doing a bit of sponsorship deals and stuff, we're open to negotiation. You know, if you fancy just say
we're not like that, right? No. Yes.
This episode of Rant. Now for word from our sponsors. If you like me, you like El Paso cocaine, we can now do a sponsor. If you go to elpasococaine.com/randnerds, you can get a 10% discount on your first kilo.
On a kilo? Dude.
I don't know how much do you... I have no idea. I only hear people refer to kilos of cocaine, so I assume that's the standard buying unit size. I don't know. I have no idea.
All right.
I've never in my entire life indulged, apart from, unless you count caffeine and alcohol, I've never indulged in any sort of prescription drugs where
for actual
medical conditions. I have no idea how much a kilo of cocaine should cost.
Ram, from what you just said, no one's ever going to think that you touched anything ever. Okay? So no one's any type of credibility, if you ever want to like hint at you did something, no one's going to believe you.
Oh, my small amount of street cred I did have that I kept in a little box out back is gone.
Yeah, it's the ignorance is bliss type thing, yeah?
Yeah. So, I want to know now, what is the standard buying size for cocaine? What is your your sort of standard buying size for cocaine?
Well, as a consumer, you mean?
Yeah. If I went to my local drug dealer, what size would I expect? What options would I expect? Do you get bulk buy discount and stuff like that, or
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I know it's in grams.
It's in grams, is it?
Yeah. A gram, or if you're really in a party mood, it's 5 or 10 or something like that. I think.
Oh wow! Okay. I was slightly off them for keto. I don't know. All my knowledge of cocaine comes from like that one James Bond film where he throws someone in a chopper machine and Scarface and Breaking Bad. That's my knowledge when it comes to drugs.
And in Breaking Bad,
I think there's like a cocaine only gets mentioned like once.
Yeah, because they make the what's it called?
Meth.
The
blue meth.
Yeah, crystal meth. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good show, by the way.
Oh, it's really good. Have you watched Better Call Saul?
Actually, no, I haven't. And here's the thing. I really want to see it, and I also want to see the movie they made afterwards with Jesse. There was like a movie that... El Camino.
El Camino, yes.
Yeah.
So, my honest opinion of it, Breaking Bad's really good series, fantastic series. Better Call Saul is a very good series, but very different. It's a prequel. It's a very more breaking. It's not as action focused as Breaking Bad is. It's a lot more slower burning, but really good.
But I mean, Saul was an excellent character for the show. Really fun. Actually, funny story. Breaking Bad. It took me, I think, 4 or 5 tries to actually get into it.
Oh yeah.
So I watched the first 3 episodes and I was like, meh. And then like half a year passed by. I was like, let's try again. Let's try. Everyone keeps talking about this shit. Let's try again. Watched the first three episodes again. I was like, nope, still not doing it for me. And I did that again, half a year or whatever passed, and I tried again. Eventually, people started saying, you have to continue because you have to get into it, dude. You have to like watch a little more. You'll get into it. It's going to be really good and it's going to be worth your while. Just hang in there. Just get past like the first 5 episodes, something like that. It's going to start getting really, really good. It's like, okay, fine. And I did that. And then I was like, I was hooked. It was awesome.
Yeah. That's interesting because I was the opposite. I was hooked on Breaking Bad from episode 1. I was hooked. But interestingly, I am not a fan of the last season. Whenever I rewatch it, I get to like the episode, end of season four, where sort of like the arc involving Gus sort of ends.
Mm-hmm.
Never really get into season five. I tend to stop watching about two or three episodes into season five. I don't know why. I found the next sort of level bad guys, the sort of like neo-Nazis, I found them very uninteresting. I did just didn't like. It felt to me like it was almost planned ending season four, but then also had to carry on to another season, and so they sort of like squeezed it out. I just didn't do it very for me. Better Call Saul, on the other hand, that's a very slow burning series. That is a series like for like the first season, basically nothing happens. The first season, it's nothing. It's all like setting up. Mm-hmm. And then gradually over the next or two, there was all like season two is considered like the weakest of the lot. But then I still saw season three hits. It starts to really ramp up because it's a prequel. But it's definitely worth a watch through. El Camino. I didn't like El Camino. Not that I didn't. I didn't like it as the wrong word. The trouble with El Camino was it felt pointless.
Yeah.
The storyline with Jesse is completed at the end of Breaking Bad. It's sort of completed, and El Camino basically just like almost like retells the same plot story,
mm-hmm.
Again for like an hour and 9 minutes, and then at the end, sort of just ends like it would have ended originally. It just feels like, oh, so you watch and nothing really happens. So it's not bad. It's just uninteresting, if I'm honest.
I remember seeing the trailer for it, and I was like super hyped for it.
Yeah.
But I never got around to watching it. And it was the same thing with Better Call Saul as well. I was like, I need to watch this. I never got around to it. There's been too much to watch.
in sort of hierarchy, I'd say, in terms of the good, yeah, from the sort of best is Breaking Bad, then Better Call Saul, and El Camino's at the bottom in my personal hierarchy. The most funny thing about El Camino for me has something to do with El Camino itself, is I was watching it with my father. My father's never watched Breaking Bad. And my father has some very bizarre ideas of how to. So this, right, spoiler alert for season five of Breaking Bad. Spoiler alert, okay? In Breaking Bad, neo-Nazis, for season five, neo-Nazis capture Jesse. I assume you've seen season five, so I'm not about to ruin this all for you.
I've watched the whole thing, good. Yeah.
They capture Jesse, Walter White's sort of like a parent, and they force him to make meth. At one point, Jesse tries to make a run for it, and they punish him capturing him, driving to, and Jesse had made this relationship with this like woman and her child. He got sort of friends with her and was like sort of like almost in love. And basically, as punishment, the neo-Nazis, they go shoot this woman on her doorstep in front of her child. And it's like, mess with us and we'll shoot, and mess with us again, we'll shoot the kid. It's basically the message they're sending to him. My father watching this goes, well then, if I was him, I'd never cook meth for them again. Because what are they going to do? If they shoot that child, I've got the power because they've got nothing else on me. It's like, but he likes the child and doesn't want the child to die. I said, I'll just say to him, if you shoot a child, I'll never cook any more meth for you. I've got all the power. It's like, Dad, I said, thank goodness hopefully never the situation where they're trying to sort of get you to do something and threaten my life, mm-hmm. to get you, because I'm getting shot in that situation just to prove a point. It's like, thanks. It's like, and he still stands. We had this debate around. I told my sort of mother and sister about this later on around the dinner table, one on sort of Sunday dinner table, and they were like, well, of course Jesse's thrown in. My father was insistent. No, he was right. He was right. He has all the power in that situation now because they killed one of them. So now he has all the power. As logic goes, yeah, I think it's brilliant, but interesting.
It's funny, like with this whole thing about like shows with where there's like criminals and, you know, criminal activity and all this stuff where they usually talk to people that, you know, or have people aboard for this whole thing,
yeah,
that have, you know,
had those sort about, of pasts. Yeah.
Exactly. Know about, like, criminal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It was the same with Sons of Anarchy as well. I think they had a lot of bikers and whatnot along for some of the stuff as well. Have you seen that one, by the way?
I have not, no.
That's a really good one. That's one of my favorites of, like, besides sci-fi, that's one of my favorites of all time. They made us like a continuation of it afterwards. So Sons of Anarchy is like one group of bikers, yeah, a motorcycle club.
Mm.
And then there's a lot of other motorcycle clubs that they engage with throughout the series. One of them is called the Mayans. After they ended, I think it was like seven seasons of Sons of Anarchy. After like I think a couple of years, they started writing for a continuation called the Mayans, Mayans MC or something, I think it was called. And I think it was like four or five seasons of that before that ended. All really, really good. I'd say Sons of Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy has a very special place in my black hole here.
Yeah.
it's really good. And the characters are absolutely amazing in that. But the Mayans, that's like a Mexican type Mexican group. They deal with the cartel. A lot of stuff goes on in that. I'd say in terms of brutality, the Mayans is very, Mayans MC is very brutal. But those two are absolutely amazing. That would be a good one.
Oh, I'll give it a look.
I recommend that to anyone to watch.
Mm. No, I shall give that a look. Oh, yeah. There you go. Got some TV recommendations for everybody there.
Yes, it's a very popular one. They've actually talked about bringing it back for the Sons of Anarchy. I'm not going to spoil anything because you hadn't watched it. So, they've talked about bringing it back. So,
Okay, cool. Have you been up to anything gaming-wise, Zaber?
Yes, a little bit. I was actually going to talk about this last podcast as well, but we've played it again. I've been playing Rocket League.
Oh yeah,
with my daughter. We've actually played Rocket League for like plenty of years. I think like 3 or 4 years almost. We've played that on the Xbox. And the cool thing about Rocket League is, for the people that don't know what Rocket League is, imagine football, but with cars, and then you have like jetpacks on the car, so you can fly in the air as well, fly up and hit the balls in the air and knock them in the goal. And there's also other modes in the game where you can play like with hoops, almost like a basketball or something like that, and other stuff like where you pick up power-ups and you can knock each other everywhere, and you know, whatever stuff like that, shoot them. In other modes, but normally the one we play, me and my daughter, is called 2v2. So it's me and my daughter against two other people on the team, and then, you know, whoever gets the most goals within 5 minutes win. But the cool thing about that is we can be sat on the same console and play with each other with split screen. That's cool. With each our controller. So what
a rare thing these days.
It is like couch co-op games or anything co-op, couchy, whatever. That's a rare thing nowadays. But that game, it's worked for so many years and it's played so well. And the cool thing is, like, well, there's been some changes to the games that I don't like. And there's been some changes to the game that my daughter definitely don't like. So back in the day, or until recently, we could just log into the game, And then, you know, you have to add a profile or add something where, so Victoria has a name on top of her car as well. Normally we could just log in as guest. So mine is Save 'Em All and hers would be Save 'Em All 1.
Yeah.
You know, they changed that. Now you can't do that no more. Now you need an actual physical profile. Problem is, that profile needs to have access to Xbox Live to be able to play online. So I had to go in and have her log into or make an account for her, and then go in and add that. And I couldn't do that on the Xbox. I had to log in to the Xbox site on the PC, then add her profile in as a family member to be able to have her profile when it logs into this one, then get the Xbox Live features or whatever from me. So we didn't have to pay for two accounts, which is kind of dumb for just one game, yeah?
Yeah.
That was the first problem we encountered. The second was, of course, now her name wasn't Save 'Em All 1. So all the things that she'd leveled up and unlocked throughout the game was gone.
Oh,
everything sucks. That she had, like, all the, because you unlock different decals, different wheels, different colors, different paint styles, and all these kind of things. Different antennas, different hats you can put on the car as well. Different types of animations for when you score a goal or when you use your rocket boosts or whatever, stuff like that. You can unlock different type of things and you can customize all this stuff when you built your own car, yeah? And all of this stuff was lost to her. And she was gutted, dude.
Of course,
she was gutted.
I can understand that.
She was like, I almost don't want to play this game anymore because they changed so-and-so. And
there's no way to merge the guest account with the... No, that's ridiculous.
It is. It is kind of dumb. Because it was just a guest account like that she just added guest and then bam. I don't know why they changed that feature. I don't know. I can only guess. But it's kind of dumb, though. Yeah. It is really dumb. Yeah. So we had to start all over. And another problem then occurred when we then logged into the game with her new account. She's level 1.
To
be able to play competitively against other people, because we like playing for ranks in that game. And when we then wanted to do that, oh no, you can't do that. Someone on your team is not level 20 yet. I think we've played for like 6, 7, 8 hours or so. She's level like 11 or something like that. It is so dumb.
I'm guessing there's been a massive hoo-ha about this online. I'm guessing a lot of people are not happy about it.
I don't know. I haven't actually, you know, bothered to go in and check whether or not there's been a lot of screaming and yelling on the internet, but I don't know. It's a lot of work to get to the level she needs to be at to be able to play competitively. And to be honest, the level restriction to be able to play competitive shouldn't be there, because if you could be 20 and still suck at the game.
Yeah.
You know, the level shouldn't matter, to be honest. But yeah, it's kind of dumb. It's kind of dumb.
Oh, that's a real shame. It's a real shame.
Yeah,
so,
but it's a good. It's the game still plays really well and still really, really good and still a lot of fun. It's just there's a little more on the line, you know, a little more at stake when you play for ranks, because you can go downwards, like you can go down in ranks and go up in ranks, and we become very competitive.
Me and Victoria,
when we start playing this, she's like, "Daddy, we can do this." And she's really good at the game as well. She's really, really good.
So
she can do things in that game I can't. Mm. I suck at being a goalie. She's really good at it. at least compared to me, I can't save anything. When I panic when I'm at the goal. And it's like, no, they're coming for me. It's like, ah!
You panic when you see a ball heading your way, which is not a good thing for a goalkeeper.
No. And she's like, yeah, I got this. Boom. And the ball's gone. But it's a lot of fun. It's a good game. anyone that hasn't tried it, it's like, no, this is not for me. I don't like, you know, driving games. It's so much more than a driving game. It's really, really fun.
What sort of skill level like? I mean, is it like...
The skill cap's pretty high. The skill cap's pretty high because there's so many things, like, especially... Okay, so if you can only drive on the ground and up the walls, you're only, like, 20% there. Like, everything else, like, you need to be able to balance your car and hit balls in the air to be just halfway decent at the game.
Yeah.
And I'm in no way a pro at this game myself. I can hit the balls, I can fly up and hit them in the air, but some people, they can do these mad maneuvers, dude. It's insane. It's insane what people can do in that game. The skill cap is really, really high.
Mm. That's put off, is I just don't think I'd have the control to be able to do anything fancy.
You can. Anyone can do it. It's just a matter of like putting in the time.
You've never seen me play a fighting game.
Well, I mean, if you sat down for a week, all you did was playing that fighting game, you'd be good at it too. It's all a matter of putting in the time, dude, and learning the mechanics. And it's the same with this. If you sat down and you played this game, like, for a week, and you just sat there and just fucking queued up for match after match after match, you'd learn it too. And the cool thing about this game is there's a training mode that will actually help you, like, give you goals and things you need to do to improve. And you can go, you know, redoing, you know, all over the place and do these things and get better. And then put it into practice against other people. So there's a lot of ways you can improve your game. It's a good game.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
And then on top of that, we started playing. We've actually been waiting for a year for this game to be get on enough sale, like enough discounted, that we actually wanted to buy. This is the Star Wars Jedi Survivor, I think it's called.
Oh yes, I heard that.
Yeah, we played the first one and we absolutely loved it. We're a huge fan of the newer Tomb Raider games and the Batman games, and this is like a combination of them too, like in combat and you know, puzzle stuff and whatnot. It is so good. But
it's RPG, isn't it? Or is it just is it just an action game?
It's I wouldn't call it an RPG. No, I call it more of like
action adventure game.
Yeah, action adventure. That's probably where I put it. It is so good. The first one, absolutely amazing. When we heard the second one was coming out, we was like, yes. And then it was like sat there for like, I don't know, 70 quid or whatever for like forever. It got discounted with like 20%. It was like, there's no way I'm paying that much for that game. So we was like sat there with crossed fingers being like, come on, Game Pass, get it on there too. Because, you know, on the Xbox with the Game Pass, you also get the EA Play thing. Mm. So it's like, come on, EA, put this shit on. And they didn't. Now, I think it was just on sale with a 65% discount. And when we found out, because I don't have the Xbox on, like, I only have it on when Victoria's home, yeah? And so sometimes there's deals that we miss out on completely. So we turned on the Xbox, which was like, yeah, let's go play some Rocket League. And I was like, Victoria just went into the store to check out if there's something like out of our wish list that was on discount. And she was like, Daddy, get in here. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, Daddy. Yeah. Look. And it was 65.
I love your impression of your daughter because you do have such a deep voice.
I can't do the high one. So it was 65% discounted, yeah. And because we haven't been on and we haven't checked and the Xbox is not on when she's not here, we were had almost missed out. It said it was like 13 hours left of that deal. It was like, oh no, we got to get this right now.
Oh shit.
Yeah. but we managed to get it. So we only, she got sick when she was home last year. So we only managed to get like 3 hours into it, but it picks up pretty much in the same way that the first one ended. So it's really good.
Okay.
It's really, really, really good. So far, that's all I can say. I haven't played more than 3 hours, but
yeah, so
it feels really well made.
So what's it? What's it, so it's called Jedi Survivor. What's it a sequel to?
Well, it's the first one. I think it was called Fallen Order or something like that.
Right.
Jedi Fallen. Yeah, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order or something like that. Okay. It was really good too.
Okay.
Graphics are amazing. It looks so well. And it's like a third person type thing. So you see the entire character from behind, and then you have a lightsaber. You can use the force to like push and pull things with different buttons. And they introduced something to this one though, and there's probably going to be more things, but because you have talent trees as well, where you can like put in and you can like learn these and those skills. So you can get better at using the force, or you can get better at using your lightsaber. And there's like, so far we've unlocked three stances. So you have like the one lightsaber, then you have a dual where they're like, it's a stick with like the glowy things out to each side. And then you have the dual, like dual lightsaber thing.
Yeah.
That you can switch between. Works really well. And some of the, like, let's say the dual, like the stick thing, where you have like dual lightsabers going out, that's really good for AoE, so where there's like a lot of mobs, because you can throw it and use the force to like swing it around you to deal damage. And one ability that they introduced into this stuff, we've only tried to use once, is that you can actually mind, you know how Obi-Wan does in like, these are not the droids we're looking for type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. So yeah, but again, 3 hours or so, maybe four. I haven't put more into it than that, so I don't know. I'll talk more about it later. And,
cool.
And,
yeah, we'll come back to it and you can get a bit more depth.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like that's how it is when you have games where it's like a game like Rocket League. You can just log on and play. There's no ending to that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, another game pops in and you start playing that, and then you know eventually you fall back to Rocket League again. We've played it on and off. Then sometimes we've like left the game for like 6 months and come back again, and then we play it for like 3 months where that's all
yeah,
we play.
I know you mean. Yeah, I know you yeah. mean. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, hopefully we'll have a update in a few podcast time and you can give us your like more depth views on it.
Yes.
Cool. Well,
so what have you been playing, dude? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been playing a game called Maneater.
Mm. I know that game.
Yes, you play as a shark.
Yeah, exactly.
You start the game with you start the game as a big shark, and there's this guy called Scaly Pete who's a shark hunter, and you go and you eat a few people, and he comes after you, and he gets you, and he kills you, but he takes out your daughter, baby shark, and he throws her in the water, and. You basically then that's like the proper start of the game. You play it. You start as the baby shark, and you have to basically work your way up to take your revenge. And you start off as this little shark, and you start off. You swim around. You can't do much. You can eat like little fishes, and you come across like alligators and stuff, and they're bloody deadly. And so you have to run away from them. And then gradually, as you sort of like eat more fish, and eventually people. You get bigger and you move on from being a baby shark, and you become a teenage shark. And as you saw, and the leveling up, the growth stages seem to be like story mode based. For what it feels like, I don't think it's like level based, Because I think it's like you go, it seems to be like as you get to certain mile points in the story, you seem to get bigger and stronger and tougher. But as well
it's
as...
like you get objectives, don't you? Like you do. Kill this, these and those people.
Yeah.
Smash this and that boat.
Yes, yeah. And there are, like, and as you smash up boats and as you, like, kill people, eventually, you if you kill too many or destroy too many boats, you become your threat level goes up, and a bit like Wanted Stars in GTA, and they'll call out hunters. But if you kill enough hunters, your sort of overall sort of like overall threat level goes up, and eventually you'll get like a hunter's boss will come out. And there's 10 of them. Mm-hmm. As you get, and each boss has got like sort of like more gear and stuff, and they'll come for you, and you have to then sort of like take them out as well. And that basically, unless you take them out, you can lock things. So your sort of key sort of leveling up mechanic. So you basically have what you can basically evolve. So you can your basic sort of starting situation is as a tiger shark, which gets you bonus to like neutral stuff, and you evolve by spending gene points, protein points, fat points, and mineral points that you pick up by eating fish and certain things. You'll get these points, and there's like caches at the bottom of the sea that you can discover and pick up, and they'll unlock these points. And you have like sort of slots on your shark that you can like upgrade. So like at the start you have like the body type of a tiger shark is what your basic slot you pick up, and you have a sonar, which is on your sensory organs. But as time goes on, you'll unlock more like types of sensory organs. You'll unlock like options for your fins, for your mouth. And you can change these out. You have like little grottos, which are like little safe areas. And each little zone of the map has one of these. This is also where you upgrade. You can't just upgrade anywhere on the fly. You have to go back to a grotto and upgrade yourself. And you can, this way you sort of like can change what you're crypt. So I've unlocked now the bone body and fins, which makes you like really tough.
Bone body?
Yeah, so you have their like sets as well, so like there's like a matching, and as you so you have like bone jaws, bone fins, bone like body, there's like, I guess there's like a bone tail and stuff as well. And as you unlock these sets, the more of the same set you've got together, you get like extra bonus. Like they sort of like join. It's a bit like very matching armor sets. In like say Skull, you get bonuses for doing it. So you really want to be all of one type if you can, or like at least all like two or three of the same type to get some extra bonuses. So the bony one gives you defensive bonuses because basically
the bony one.
Yeah, it's like a bit, right. So basically, you get sort of like, as you sort of like get big, you get a lot more moves. So as a basic little shark, all you can do is like evade by sort of dodging out of the way and bite. As you get up level, you eventually have like a tail sort of like swash, which you can spin around and smash targets with. Oh, you can also like lunge out of the water. You can like sort of jump out of the water and stuff. And
yeah, I've seen that. That looks really cool.
It does look really cool. What... it needs some moon points. So basically, I've now got these like bony fins, which means when I evade, it's like I'm a blender, and anything nearby just takes damage. So when I'm being like, so all I do now is when the hunters come, is they also kind of cock it together. So I just jump amongst them, just keep spinning and evading, and just basically blending them all around me, and sort of shred them up. And I've upgraded my ability to breathe on land. So you can go onto land and you have like an oxygen bar. So like, and it's in inverse most games. Your oxygen bar kicks in when you go onto land and you start to suffocate if you stay on land for too long. But I've upgraded this now to really high. So I can stay on land for like, it feels like over a minute on land. There's one bit where I need to, and so there's one bit where I need to eat a load of like people on a beach, and I'm the wrong side of like the island. So I'm like, oh, this is on the other side. I thought, fuck it, I've got rings. I just jump on the land, just like belly flop across the island. I thought, the least place you expect a shark attack come from is from the land. And I literally sort of come over these bushes onto the beach and just start eating people. I thought, they were not expecting that. They're not expecting me to appear from some bushes. They're next to the sea, and I come from the land. They weren't expecting that. I just found that deeply amusing. And sort of like eat people and munch them down and because when you grab people, you can like sort of you can like wiggle the mouse to thrash them about as well, and you can like sort of dive down to them. So one of the things I like to do is like when I've got like say eat like 10 people or eat 9 of them, I'll grab the last person, just like swim down to the bottom of the ocean, just sort of hold them up and just hear them suffocate. It's really quite funny. Really quite funny. So they're thrashing about and sort of have a bit of lunch. And it's surprisingly good fun. I call it sort of, it makes me think I don't know if it's, Ubisoft didn't invent this formula, but I always feel a bit like a Ubisoft style game. So what I mean by that is Ubisoft have a formula for all their games whereby, you know, open world, there are things to collect on the map you need to go collect. In each area, if you collect them all, you get bonuses to the area and like unlock things. If you collect all like the whatever's, like the feathers or whatever in each area, there's like sort of little side missions to do. You know, that's all like sort of open world Ubisoft style, like all the Far Cries, Assassin's Creed do it, it's like Mordor, the Mordor game does it and so forth. This plays like that. You've got these little areas and you're have to go and collect things, and you collect crates that got like nutrients in that give you like extra bonus for your like so you can upgrade your shark easier. You can There's like these store license plates, like American style license plates, some of which you need to like do some sort of like sort of almost acrobatics to get to. There are what else? There's like hunting missions where like there'll be like targets you need to hunt. Like they're like boss animals, so that'd be like boss alligators who are like sort of twice level normal targets. And there's locations that you can pick up on the map and sort of unlock, and you're like you don't really get much per se for, but if you get all locations in one area, you'll like new upgrades for your shark. So there's a reward for unlocking everything. There are rewards for doing it. But it's all it plays like that. It's pretty good fun doing that. It's just so fun just to keep eating people. It just really is, just to jump out of the walls and grab people. And I've upgraded my body with so much armor and stuff now. I basically, when the hunters are attacking me, they're like gradually, slowly topping my health off. But every time I eat one of them, I just eat one hunter and my health's back again. So I literally saw like just jump into amongst them, just spin around constantly, and they just can't do anything. It's just so funny. Each progress the story as you go to like each zone will have like a list of tasks you need to do before you sort of progress the story. So it'll be like, okay, you need to complete 3 of these type of missions, complete this type of mission, find so and so, do these sort of side quests, and then at the end of it, once you know, like get like an error to a certain like completion percentage. Once you get to that, once you do that, you then get to basically meet the next storyline, which is like, it says like checking on how Scaly Pete's doing. You're like, there's like the sort of framing device is, you know, like those shows like Deadliest Catch and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's like a TV crew who are following Scaly Pete on his boat. And you basically sort of like see it from their point of view. And as you're watching, there'll be like little bottom screen, you'll get like sort of like come in every Tuesday to watch new episodes of Man Eater and stuff like that. And the cat, there's a narrator, because obviously your shark doesn't speak, but there's a narrator who does like sort of snide comments about, and as you do things, they talk about like your like a nature documentary. So like when you retreat to the grotto, they go, even sharks need to go and have some reflection time in a secluded place. And they'll do this, and as you like, eat sharks, and when the hunters come out, they'll say, oh, the sharks come to hunt, and some of them are quite snarky. As you go to new areas, it'll do like little dialogue with all the new areas. The dialogue's done by, I can remember his name, have you watched Rick and Morty?
Only small clips and there.
Okay. Have you watched Archer at all?
No.
Okay. Then the name of me, the guy who does in Rick and Morty, he plays the father, not Rick, he plays the father in Rick and Morty, Jerry. The voice actor for him is the voice actor for this game.
Okay.
And it's really fun and silly. I don't think it's particularly long. I think I've put in about 6-7 hours, I'm halfway through finishing it, and I'm not exactly like rushing through the story. I'm doing a lot of the side missions and stuff. I've done most of them, I'm not going for every single collectible because I just can't be, some of them are quite tricky and I just can't be faffed. But I'm going for a lot of them anyway. It's quite nice because you have your sonar. To find the collectibles, you have your sonar, and if you activate it, like highlights all the ones nearby, and they get put on your map as well. So if you just like swim around an area and just keep hitting your sonar every time you get, you just you'll eventually uncover them all anyway. So it's not that you have to hunt for them too hard, which is quite nice. I like, as I've got older, I appreciate games where you don't have to like spend ages hunting for every nook and cranny to find like the 100 collectibles, like the old GTA games where you have they be hidden everywhere. I like games where it's like, okay, here's where they are, you know where to find them now, but you have to do a little bit of work to locate them. I like those style games. Again, series Ubisoft style games.
Yeah, they did the same with the Tony Hawk games.
Yeah.
Like, you had to like find these hidden things to unlock certain things in the game.
Yeah.
And you never knew where they were, at least to begin with. Until the YouTube times where it's like, everyone had a video of this is how you get it.
Yeah, I mean, the Far Cry games, often in Far Cry, you could buy like maps. The maps then just mark on one zone everywhere these bits were. I like that because I want to still like find these things, but I don't want to spend hours searching every nook and cranny to find it. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some bonus info though. I haven't played the game. I've just watched a couple of videos. I was actually looking at the trailers for the game before it came out. I was like, yes, this is something I need to play at some point. But it's recently got put on Game Pass. So if you have an Xbox and you have Game Pass, Manager is on there.
Oh, excellent. There you go.
Yeah.
Give it a go. It's really good fun. I think the length of it feels about right. I think that would start to get boring after a while, but now I'm having real great fun just all swimming around, you know, attacking, eating seals, attacking other sharks, you know, occasionally eating people and getting the hunters after me and shredding them all up, and then
get your num num on,
get your num num on, and you know, and gradually I'm now an elder shark, and
can you upgrade to Megalodon?
I don't know. I'm not all the way. I'm level 28, I think I am now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the max level is. I think max level is 40. But I think your growth stages are based on how far along the plot you've got, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're based on your level. Because that's what I assumed at first they'd be based on. But it's like, as soon as I completed like a story mission, all of a sudden I happened to be the next growth stage. It just felt like it was a gated system, which would make more sense actually, because certain areas of the map are like locked off with gates, which you can't get through unless you're like big enough to break through them. Because obviously you get bigger as time goes on. The controls are really nice. It's nice. You can sort of like, it's so intuitive, just floating about, doesn't feel like awkward. Which is nice. Combat is a bit of a mess. When you're like trying to sort of jump onto a boat, it does feel like you can't really sort of like aim at a target. And the game has like a lock-on system where if you press like the F key, it will lock onto like your nearest big threat. But trouble is, it doesn't keep you locked on. It will just like lock onto it. Then as soon as like the sort of like goes slightly out of your view, before you lose it. And then if you press F again, it'll spin the camera around and like retarget you. I would prefer it if like when you locked on, it locked on. And sort of kept all like, sort of like it would be harder to lose a lock. But that's all sort of my only sort of gripe to it. It's not so easy to target things as when you've got like lots of them about. Some of the also like side missions, like the boss, they're like these like bosses hunts you do. So certain like the predators that will come after you, they'll follow you and keep following you so like you can escape. Like alligators will just keep chasing you. Unless you can sort of like get away from them and sort of escape and outrun them. And they generally won't stop. However, the boss animals have like a threat zone, which they'll stay in and they won't leave. So if you're like fighting with the boss animals and you can sort of like you find yourself at the edge of the zone. So there's one alligator, which I was fighting. I could find myself at the edge of the zone where as soon as I cross this like invisible wall, it just would turn around and go back to like where it was in like the center. So basically all I had to do to beat it was like swim out, as soon as it turned around, swim in, bite it a couple of times, and swim back out again. and it would come after me, then turn back round, and then head back to me, so I could just repeatedly do that. But like you could do the old like MMO games, you know, you could sort of, like, you can't kite the animals in any direction, but like they've like a set of zone. That is a little bit.
Yeah,
you can sort of, like, it feels like you sort of game it a little bit, and it's very tempting to. but it's just fun, and sort of like going back to an area when you're like bigger, it's all like, oh, alligators, you caused me much trouble. I'm now level 29 and 3 times your size. Let's have fun. And cause as you get bigger, so like at a small size, you like, if you kill like something bigger than you, it all like sort of falls apart. You have to start eating bits. As you get bigger, you literally like sort of swallow them whole. It's so. And the other full fish you encounter, what's quite nice is that as they level up, the fish get bigger and stuff. So you like to make it sort of, as they sort of older, you sort of can tell just by how they're leveled, by how big they are. It's a surprisingly neat game. It's surprisingly fun set of interactions. I said, I think it's a game that would eventually outstay its welcome. But I've had absolute great fun with it. But yeah, if it's on Xbox Pass, give it a go. Really do give it a go. It's really simple fun. It's just hilarious. It's very much a game you don't have to think too much about what you're doing. You can just sort of like basically spin the camera around, just keep hitting the bite button. Eventually, you'll kill everything.
I might just check on the Microsoft Store as well to see if it extends to the PC version as well, in case some people have it and want to play it on PC instead.
Yeah.
Man Eater.
Yeah. I was just going to check on Steam and see if it's on Steam.
Is it Man Eater in one word?
Yes.
There it is. Let's see. Oh, it's not gotten. It's part of the Game Pass for PC as well.
There you go.
So if you have the PC Game Pass as well, it's on there as well.
There you go.
I love it when they have the games like that are like available on both console and PC, that you get it on both.
Yeah, I'm now checking Steam quickly as well, just to see how much it is on Steam at the moment. Come back here. Okay, it's it is quite pricey on Steam at the moment. The base game on Steam is $33.99. And
so it's not discounted. Yeah.
No, with the deal with the DLC, it's £42.28.
Let me just check one last thing here. On the thing where I normally get keys, if it's on sale there, might as well do the thing.
Yeah.
Make it easy for people. Man Eater. Epic Games CD key. It's like £5.
Oh, there you go.
On Kinguin. For an EU CD key, Man Eater just Steam CD key. It's even cheaper, dude.
Oh, there you go. So
this is the man. Let me just click it. That's like £2.50 or £3. Yeah.
If it's called Man Eater Truth Quest, that's a DLC.
No, it's just called Man Eater. I just want to
click the video. That is the one, yeah.
Make sure this is the right one. Why is it not playing? This is the right thing. So it's like £2.50, £3 or something like that on for Steam. On there, and I believe that is global, yeah? It just says Steam. Yeah. Standard edition without the DLCs. The DLC, the Truth something something Truth quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about maybe £3.50 on there.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very much discounted. It's like what is that, like 60% off, 70% off almost?
Yeah.
So it's very cheap on Kinguin.
Oh, there you go. It's a neat game. I mean, any game where I can equip electric jaws and electrocute people as I bite them, it's got my vote.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I need to try that. I've been meaning to play it for like forever.
Oh, it's really
good. Just recently noticed that was on the Game Pass thing. But I usually play on my PC and only the console when Victoria's home, so
Give it a go. I reckon your daughter might. It's a great game because it's like the missions are very free form and they're very sort of like very sort of the same theme. It'd be a great game to sort of pass the controller between two people.
We might do it then, but we need to get through the other game first.
Yes, well, hopefully give it a go.
Yeah,
hopefully give it a go. But yeah, I'm absolutely loving my time with it. Let me just see how much time I've spent in it. I want to look at my time. So, oh wow, I've been playing a lot more than I expected. I think. Oh no, look at the 1-1. 8.4 hours, and I would say I'm about halfway through, and I've done most of the side mission stuff.
All right.
I would say I've done probably about 80 of the areas I've done. I think my least completed area is about 86%, and I've not been sort of having spent ages trying to track it down. Everything it's been like just general sort of like, you know, just general sort of like playing the game, what I call in general. I'm not sort of hiding down, I'm just sort of running around, just doing it, give it a go. Maneater, really, it's definitely in a, it's almost sort of like game of the year contention for me now. I've enjoyed it so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, a lot of praise.
Yeah. It's just it's fun. It's silly fun. It's a sort of game I can see myself like, do you know what? I just want a bit of a laugh, bit of a run round. I'm just going to launch up Manny and just go eat some people.
You don't want to think too much about it. You just want to have fun.
Oh yeah,
type of game. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't. There is a story, but the story isn't particularly serious. And there's not. I mean, it's got quite a lot of dark. It's got a lot of dark humor in it. I do like dark humor.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's got plenty of dark humor in it. Yeah, it's great. So yeah, definitely a recommendation from me. Cool.
I will follow up on that recommendation and I'll give it a go.
Fantastic. Right, is there anything else from yourself to see if you can save before we wrap up?
No. I think that was just about it.
Excellent. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast this evening. If you have, you can check out our next one in a fortnight time on the... And he goes, quit the date up. You should read this up before we start. It'll be on the 11th of April at on this channel, twitch.tv/randnerds or youtube.com/randnerds. You can check out the website randnerds.co.uk that has all the latest information and links to all the episodes when they come up. It'll be at 6:30 at GMT plus one because the hour
will
goes
be it'll be at 7:30. CEST, Central European Summertime.
There you go. Or UTC plus, or UTC, also 8 UTC plus one, which is Universal Time System.
And if you want to come hang out, join one of the game nights that we have.
Yeah.
The next game night will be on the 10th, Wednesday the 10th.
Yep.
At... roughly that would be 9:30 CEST
and 20:30 GMT plus one.
There you go. We had a couple of people come in on the games night yesterday, or was it? Yeah, and chat with us. That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Come in, and we got recommended a game to try and whatnot.
Yes, we did. We had a very quick look at it yesterday, but I think we might add it to the list.
Yes.
Of games to sort of go into.
And it's a great way to come and interact a little bit and you know, ask a couple of questions, maybe talk a little bit about a few games or, you know, just have some fun. Good times.
So that's on the twitch.tv/randnerds channels where you need to go to look for that. So come check that out.
Are we on Kick yet? No?
Kick is in progress. It's in progress. It's, yes. Skaz.
Oh yeah, we were talking about maybe I had to do that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We might do that, and I just Skaz thinks he's going to try and sort of set me up with a caster account potentially to sort that, which can then do like three or four. So for the podcast at least, we could go to like multiple streams. But it'd be nice if you're up to get Zaber sort of streaming his game, because at the moment I stream mine, which is a bit choppy at the moment because my PC is getting a bit long on his teeth, but Zabe is silky smooth, his machine, so perhaps we can convince him to stream a bit. But yeah, check it out. You can also check the edited version of the videos on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/runnerds. You'll see edited versions of videos on there. They all, assuming I get it done in time, they go on Mondays. And obviously the podcast comes out on, well, you can check the live stream out on there as well. And very soon, in May, the new season of Doctor Who will be starting, and there'll be reviews popping up for the episodes of that. And a fellow nerd, which don't know if Zaber's met. Have you met Middlemeister Zaber?
No, I haven't. No, you've talked about him a couple of times, but I've never actually met him.
Yes, we are. He's sort of like my fellow Doctor Who fan, and we will usually off. But I'm sort of like halfway through the series, we'll sort of meet up and do a recording together and discuss what we think so far, and well, if what we are enjoying, what we're not enjoying, etc., etc. And we have got some ideas of some more content we might be making in the future for that as well. Oh, so yeah, nice. lots to check out. So see you guys soon, hopefully. And for me, the Suffolk Ram,
same old.
Will they see you soon?